Now let's just let that sit there. It's a Selah moment. Are you here this morning and you don't know that you're loved? You're kidding, right? God so loved you that he gave his one-of-a-kind born son, that whoever would believe would unite life with. That's what the word means, to make a connection. That you'd stop destroying yourself. What's in your life? What are the Amaleks? We'll be talking about that in a bit. You know, that guy that just was trouble. That guy was trouble. And everywhere he went, there was fear. Caused people to worry. There's no worry on this deal. You need to know that somebody loves you. Loves you. Just let that sink in. So we were in line at you guys can have a seat. Starbucks, my least favorite coffee place in all the world. Unless, of course, you're here and you're the owner of Starbucks, then, you know, maybe one of my most favorite places in the world. And we were going to a meeting related to the new site that we'll be at in late summer, early fall. Yeah, praise God. And, so we were in line there. We'd made our order of... It's a whole different language, you know. It's fraps and lattes and whatever. So we had made our order. And when we got up to the window to pay, the gal hands us our hot chocolates. That's the only thing I knew to order. Our hot chocolates, and she said, "No charge." I said, "What do you mean, no charge?" She said, "Because the guys in front of you just bought your drinks." I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the unusual blessing that came to Doug Storm this past week, where he was facing a $6,500 charge. You all heard the story last week of having to put a new engine in his vehicle. And one of our dear people who owns an automotive place, I said, "Why don't you just take to that guy and get a second opinion?" And you know something about second opinions, don't you? And he walked out of there with... $433 charge, is that what it was? Or I keep getting this all wrong. Anyway, it doesn't matter, does it? You know, because it was the blessing of the Lord. Doug was so overcome that he just wept. That's all he could do, was just couldn't even talk on the phone. And I keep hearing these reports. Ron, I'm going to get rid of this deal here. So I keep hearing these reports of things like this that are happening to our church. You know, church in St. Joe that says they want to come and do the renovation. They want to do all that for nothing. Someone last week who came and said, "We don't want you to worry about the paint of the new place. We're going to cover all of that." I mean, who does this? God, or like Bobby and Trish and dadgummit, you know, they just kind of struggle in this marriage, don't you guys? I mean, we're family. We're so for you guys, and they just kind of struggle. And yet, in the midst of all that, Trish gets this wonderful advancement at her work and has a shift or a crew manager or something. I don't know. Anyway, it's a better deal. And they were having a struggle this past week. They had just, Trish had some difficulty about 3:30 in the morning, ended up in the ER. I may not be getting this exactly right, but my stories are really good, okay? So they said, well, what do we do? We don't normally have this time together, getting out of the hospital and all that stuff. And let's just go do something. And so they found themselves at a place of business. And when they got out to their car, this was on the windshield of their car. It says, "Open me." And they gave me permission to read this. "Hey, you. I'm writing this letter to you because the world needs more love letters." By the way, this was the only car out of 40 or 50 or 60 cars that had a note on it. "This is the year to radiate positivity and spread love everywhere we go." You know, like every year it's the year to do that, right? "But after all, we're all in this together, right?" Amen. Right? Right. "Writing letters is my way of doing small things with great love. I came across a quote the other day that I found inspiring, and I wanted to share it with you. Find something that makes you happy and use it to make others happy." Unquote. "Since we just entered 2017 and the best time for new beginnings is now," let me read that sentence again just in case you didn't hear it. "Since we just entered 2017 and the best time for new beginnings is
now."
You know what "now" means in the Greek?
Now.
Thank you. "I think it's so cool to think about the amount of small opportunities we have every day to make a difference to someone. We can be the light and make every person we meet leave happier. One man gives and yet gains even more. Happy 2017. You are loved." Bobby and Trish, this was a specific word for you. But you got a pen? And agape. God. I want to pass this around. I want everybody to sign it. I want everybody to sign that side that says, "Hey, from your church family. You guys got a pen over here? Do I need to pass a pen along? Hey, this is, it's an 05. I don't care. You can have this one." Why don't you guys just, everybody, let's just express it. Let's just sign it. Just put your name on it. Don't write something goofy. Just don't, no sloppy wet kiss here. Just put your name on it. Sally, you have to sign your own name on that deal. And just start and let's just go around, okay? Now, some of you are here, your guests, met some guests. But, you know, this is about the body of Christ, so I don't care where you go to church. Or I don't care, let me rephrase that. I don't care what church you're a part of. That's, we don't go to church here. We are the church, right?
Yeah.
Right? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to, all right. I just want to make sure you're with me. So just put your name on it. Just sign it around. Go around, 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 around. And then who, this young lady back here. I don't know how this is going to work, but let's give it to somebody. That's a poor guest back here. She's saying, I'm not coming back to this place. They're crazy here. So oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Go ahead. You know what to do.
It's a love letter. Seems like the Lord's talking about love letters this morning. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Your name is like purified oil. Therefore, the maidens love you. Draw me after you, and let us run together. How beautiful are you, my darling? How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil. You're altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. May you come with me from Lebanon. Journey down from the summit of Amana. You make my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You've made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes, with a single strand of your necklace. How beautiful you are. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. And then you turn to the end of the book. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here. I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. God write us a love letter. And he goes, kiss his bride. Lord, thank you for your amazing love.
This is Lindsay, one of our teachers in our children's area, and she believes she has a word to share with everybody. And so let's listen.
I don't do this. I teach first graders. I'm not used to adults. I've been overwhelmed back there because I feel like And this has never happened to me, but I opened my Bible right to probably the only verse that literally the entire chapter is highlighted. We talk about God's love for us, and we talk about how much he loves us, and I've been that person. But it feels like you're too far to love. And it feels like you've run too far. You are too deep in the muck and the mire. And I've been that person who has considered ending it. And this scripture just says, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And I've been there. I've been where? Literally on the floor. Done. Nobody can love me now. And I remember praying at one point, God, I need you to break this off of me. I need you to intervene, because if not, I'm not going to live. It was not too long after that that I found out I was going to have a baby. And I was told, your family will not love you. I was told, end it so that people can love you, because they will not love you if you keep him. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I read that with my son this week. It's okay, baby. That was one of the things that we read this week in our devotions, is you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Somebody's in here and they feel like you're in too much darkness. And I don't know who it is, but I've been shaking because I don't do this. I was like, no, somebody else can talk. But somebody's in here who feels like you can't be loved. And I'll tell you that I had my baby and I went straight to a church that I had visited and they said, you are loved. And they took me out to dinner. And if I didn't show up for church, they showed up at my doorstep. And I went to my parents and I said, I don't know what to do. And they said, you are loved. No matter how far you've gone, you are loved. And he'll bring you back to him because he's seeking for you. And darkness is not dark to him. It's not dark to him. You are loved.
Amen. You know, one of my favorite things that Lindsay just said is that God will intervene. God has a way of coming into our lives in the most interesting, for lack of a better word, interesting circumstances. God will intervene. At this moment, I want to introduce to everyone, this is Brittany. Say hi, Brittany.
Hi.
Brittany came up and told Doug something and then told me something, and I want to pass it on to everyone else. Are you good, Sharon? No? Brittany asked me about, says that she has a desire to be baptized. If you want to see God intervene in somebody's life, come to a baptism. And so Brittany is brought by her grandparents, which we will be in contact with soon to kind of pursue some of this and to see what's going on, okay? Awesome. What'd you hit on there? Awesome, awesome, awesome.
In case you're wondering, that's a frayed knot. That's as good as, that's all I got. You know, it's a frayed knot. So. just while we're kind of transitioning, I am aware of the time. Yeah, you know what it means when a preacher looks at his watch?
Nothing.
Yeah, no. I'll try to not screw this up. It's been a great meeting. Great morning, hasn't it? In case I haven't told you, I love this church. I do. This church is about 8 people. I'm just messing with you. Did that just go dark, or did I have a retinal tear? Oh, let there be light. I love this church, and some pastor friends that are here that I love, these guys too. And John, did you share your word with Ken yet? Or okay, I want the pastors that are here that you know who I'm talking to, that God's not done with you yet. I just want you to know that He's not done with you. Just a touch of housekeeping. We talked about Andy Oath having surgery on the 16th at Barnes Hospital. And there's kind of been a swell, you know, like ocean swell type stuff of people saying, yeah, I'm taking off work, or hey, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to be there. And the Oaths are somewhat like the Phillipses in that they're pretty private people. And so I'm going to ask, actually they're asking, that it be more of a kind of a family time for them. And so tell your employers, if you've decided to take off work, that you're going to come in that day and you're going to work, okay? And, you know, I encourage us all to pray for them, you know. It's possible, probable that the pastors will be there with them, but they've really requested that it, you know, they're both in pretty public positions here in the community, Andy especially, and so you can pray. You can pray. We're going to hear a story about prayer here in just a very, very brief moment. So I just wanted to make that clear. Hope nobody is bothered with that, but let's go along with their desires, with their wishes, okay? I used to serve with a pastor, and he had a really bizarre name, such that, you know, he would have never found his name on a keychain at Cracker Barrel. I surrendered to preach under his leadership, and And he used to every, and then later on after Preacher Factory days, then I returned. They asked me to come back to serve what was my then my home church. And and Garth Lipscomb Pybus. What a name. Garth Lipscomb Pybus. He used to, every Monday morning, he would come in and he'd say the same thing every morning. And at first I thought he was, I didn't know what it meant. And then after a while it got a little bit irritating, but he was right on target. And he would always take his, he wore glasses and he'd take his, he'd kind of swing around and he'd say, "Fret not thyself. Fret not thyself." And that would come up not just on Mondays, but that would come up quite quite a lot. Jesus said it like this, in that he was going to prepare a place for us, and he, it's recorded over in John chapter somewhere. Yeah. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, you know, believe also in me." Paul said it like this in Philippians, and it's a passage that you all know. Don't be anxious for anything. You know what anything is in the Greek? Anything. Or some of your translations may say nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Same difference. "But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in our hearts, let our requests be made known unto God." And here is the promise. The peace of God would stand guard over our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I know that on any given Sunday that people will drag things in here, or things will drag you in here. And you're struggling with something. Fret not thyself. As we conclude our February emphasis within the 2017 overall theme of moving forward in faith, we've been talking about God's provision. And to help us underscore what that provision is, you know, we have said that his provision is not stuff necessarily, it's himself. It's himself. And we, you know, we have in, to help us underscore this provision, we have a couple of stories we're going to look at ever so briefly from Exodus 17 through 18, where we're going to hear from Yahweh, or Yahuwah, in as the vowel points of Adonai are inserted in the what is typically YHWH, Yahweh. And the translation of that that we have been using is simply this, if you're filling in the blanks: I am here. And I am, this is not a misprint, I am will make it happen. Whatever it is, he will make it happen. He's here and he will make it happen. He wants to say to all of us, every waking moment and those when we're not awake, he is here. Let me say that again. He is here and he will make it happen. If he can take away your sin, what is a $6,500 motor to him? Now, it was $6,500. Or, you know, messages like this, and not just like this, but the preachers in this room, you will know that you come into a morning, a Sunday morning, or whenever you preach or teach, with a bit of fear of him and trepidation. Because you know that whatever you're about to, you feel like you've gotten from God to give to your people, you're gonna be tested in that. Ring, 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 ring on, I don't know what day it was this week, but the folks that have, that are renting the house next to us that we own said, the garage door just broke in half. Well, congratulations. So about the time when I was feeling a little bit of angst kind of creep up in me, fret not thyself. I heard from my spiritual mentor and pastor friend, who's now with the Lord. Most of my friends are now with the Lord. And that's the way it goes, David. That's just kind of the, you know, so where'd they all go, you know? Yes, you are still here, and for which I am very grateful. But we also learned that his provision is not just that he's here and makes things happen, but he's, as we would, we have kind of, in our Missouri Midwestern slang, he is also Jireh, Yerohi, in Hebrew. It just simply means this. It really doesn't mean provider as much as it means I see and I will provide. He is the God who sees our need, and you know what? He's already met our need in Christ Jesus. He will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. His eyes are looking to and fro, just seeking someone whose heart is fully devoted to him. Is that you? That you? How about you? So I want to say with my mentor and friend, fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. And so let me... is that my wife? Are you the one that's squalling like that? Oh, look at the time! You know what? I don't ever get bothered with that kind of stuff, even though I'm talking about it. And I really don't, because I remember first church I ever served, well, in Preacher Factory, down in the swamp of South Louisiana, down there where they speak like this damn yell, you know. Shoot that duck to come in a flock all by himself. And we had a teenager, Daniel Cronley, came to Christ, and God did some amazing things in that little town, a little area, swamp. And Daniel, I like to get into the homes of my teenagers. Then I was working with teenagers then. And I got into, I remember going to Daniel's home. He lived down the street from us in Citrus City. It's a little subdivision, about the only subdivision, actually. So I got into Daniel's house, and I heard the most horrific noise out of the back room of their house. And have I told you this before? And after a while, it got to be, I mean, it sounded like an animal was back there. It really did. I mean, it was. I didn't know what it was. I said, Daniel, I said, what is that noise? He said, oh, that's my big brother. Those are some great days. And I went back and I saw this little bitty boy. It's about that big. In a crib. So horribly deformed. But was still living, still able to be loved by God. So those kinds of things, that's music to my ears. Crying babies. Yeah. Hey, I want to underscore what I want to share with you about fretting not yourself. I want to underscore it by telling you a couple stories, and you'll find those stories. One of them's, the first one is, I'm calling it Joshua's story. Both of these are really stories about Moses, but I'm calling him Joshua's story. You'll find it in Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. And it's a story, I'm saying, about prayer. It's about a lot of things. From some of the earliest rabbinic schools, when they looked at this, they've fairly much unanimously interpreted this as this is the power of prayer. And I just want to read the entire story, and I don't know, maybe you'll see what I saw regarding prayer. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 8. Then Amalek, we're introduced, by the way, to a fellow by the name of Amalek, came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. I mean, get the picture here. The staff of God. We used to have a lady that would come here. I don't know. Is that Jeanette? Jeanette, do you have the stick? Oh, man, I'm coming to you, darling. Man, I got to have a staff. I'll give it back. Okay. So, anyway, I thought about you actually all week when I was thinking about this. Now, that is a stick. It's a what? The heck is that? That sounds like a weapon. An Irish fighting thing? Comes from a resident police officer here. Of course, he would know things about like that. So anyway, so get the picture here. Amalek is fighting against the Israelites at Rephidim. And that's the story. We're introduced to Amalek. Now, Amalek, well, the first time we hear about him, we hear... So Moses gets... He gets this, and he stations himself. He goes up to the top of the hill with his stick, with his staff, okay? With his staff. That'd be his youth pastor, his staff. Work with me. And in Genesis 36, 12, we're introduced, actually, for the first time, to Amalek. We find there that he's the son of Eliphaz, and he's the grandson, which makes him the grandson of Esau. Know anything about Esau? You know, I bet old Esau had a difficult time getting over the stuff that happened to him, don't you think? Every time he turned around, every time he looked and saw what Jacob had stolen from him, okay, let's be honest about this, and I bet he carried an offense everywhere he went. I bet he was just... you know, just bothered. And you know what happens when families get together for any kind of a gathering? They tell stories. And usually the younger want to hear about the older stories. Really? They did that? No kidding? Is that right? No, no kidding. And I'll bet some of the stuff that those children and grandchildren heard, like Amalek, grandson of Esau, you know, I'll just bet, you know, I know that there's talks about generational curses and stuff. I'm a little bit, I'm not poo-pooing that. I know that we hand things down, people, and that's kind of some of the way that it's transmitted, okay? But whatever happened to generational blessing? Okay? I don't want to really give a whole lot of thing on the generational curse thing, but I believe it would not surprise me to know that Amalek, the grandson of Esau, was probably carrying around a lot of junk. And when you look at his name actually, the root Amal, from Amalek, Amal, it means to travail or toil, a wearisome fellow, which leads to worry. This dude was trouble. Wherever he went, he just oozed trouble. He was the bully that showed up at school. He was... I was just thinking about Ken deals with a little guy. I won't go any further than that. But the little guy announced to him, what was it, about 2 weeks ago? I'm 6 and I'm going to kick your butt. Well, welcome to Columbia Public Schools. Or anywhere public school, okay? Or anywhere school. Or just anywhere. I'm 6. I'm going to kick your butt. I want to tell you about a butt kicking that's about to happen here. Now, I know some of you who are guests are saying, no, you should never use the word kicking in a sentence. So, remember, I served in South Louisiana. I could have used other words. Anyway, so we're introduced to Amalek in verse 8. He was just trouble. And continuing on, Joshua did as in verse 10. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he didn't, they didn't. Now, I don't know how that... I got to thinking about this. He has a staff. Okay? Moses does. He goes up on the top of the hill. What was that like? We don't really know, but was it like... we know it wasn't just this, because later on in this passage, it talks about both of his hands, plural, Hebrew. So, was it like this? Or was it like this? You know, we don't know. But what we do know is when his hands were up, yeah, Israel was winning. Joshua was winning. And whenever his hands would go down, then Amalek, this dude that was nothing but trouble, wherever he went, he brought worry. People began to worry. They began to fret. And then we're told in verses 14 and 16 of this story, verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, that'd be Aaron and Hur. Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So what a sight this must have been. So Joshua, you know, his hands are up. Let's go for it. You know, I don't know what it did to him, but something was happening. Something that started up here made a difference down there. Are you with me? So Joshua, verse 13, overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, there's a message there. If a guy can't preach out of that, even that, I mean, he just can't preach. Verses 14 and following. Then the Lord said to Moses. So let me back up here. Let me just say this. Who we're introduced here is to a wearisome one. But we're also introduced to Aaron and Hur. I'm calling them the wonderful two. And in verses 14 and 16... Moses, I don't know if it was the staff that he planted in the ground or what, but it's an amazing story. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial. Put that in your book. That's kind of a funny little thing there from a story, movie. Write this in a book as a memorial. Maybe the first time that God ever told Moses to write anything down. Journal this, he says. You don't want to miss this. You want to remember this, of what happened here. Journal this, Moses. Recite it to, it says, as a memorial, and then recite it to Joshua. And it's a continuous action verb here. You just go on. Don't just tell him one time. Yeah, one time, okay, enough of that. Part two, you know, page two, chapter two. No. It's every time you're with him. Tell him. Tell him what happened on top of that mountain and when he was down in the valley. And how when your hands were raised, you tell him what happened there. And what an amazing experience that was. So Moses, and then he goes on to say, write this in a book and a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Now I find it interesting that's from God's perspective. Write it down. This is what I want to do. I want to blot this stuff out. No more worry. No more worry. But that's not the end of the story. Unfortunately. That's why some of you here this morning are filled with worry about stuff. You haven't allowed Yahweh, Yehovah, I am here and I'll make it happen. You have not allowed
yo ya yurohi. I am going to see what's happening, and I'm going to provide for you. You don't have to fret anymore. There's no more worry. You don't have to worry about this anymore. But some of us just are, we're more involved in the battle down in the valley than we are in what's going on top of the mountain. You with me? So Moses built an altar and he named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "The Lord has sworn." But this is not what God said here. "The Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." That's different. Did you see that? That's different than what God said. God said, "I'm going to blot this stuff out." And then Moses puts his own kind of spin on things here. I don't know what was going on there. Boy, I'm glad we don't put our spin on what God's word says. I'll get this back to you, Jeanette. Here's the way Jesus said it. In Luke chapter 12 and verses 25 and 26, "And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters?" Moses had an interesting thing to say about this that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verses 17 through 19. Yeah, you ought to read. "Remember," this is how it starts. "Remember what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out from Egypt? How he met you along the way and attacked among you all the stragglers at your rear." See, I told you it was a butt kicking. Did you not read that in yours? "Attack them, their rear." This group over here is just not very... You're not humored with any of this stuff, are you? This group here is concerned. And Ken just laughs all the time. He just... "How he met you along the way and attacked among you all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary," wearisome, worried. It's all part of this, okay? "And he did not fear God." Amalek didn't fear God. They never do. "Therefore," verse 19, "it shall come about when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your surrounding enemies in the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Here's the admonition to us. You must not forget. Don't forget this. Or I might say it this way. Fret not thyself and start praying. Get your hands up. Focus on the one who is really on the top of the mountain.
Yeah. Right.
Now, Jesus said, in this world you're going to have valley kinds of experiences. That's the first part of that verse. "But be of good cheer." Jesus says, why? "I have overcome." Right. "I'm Jehovah Jireh."
Amen.
"I am the Lord your provider. You focus on me. Fret not thyself." And start praying. That's the first story. The second one I want to tell you about is, I'm going to call it Jethro's story. Of course. We find his story in Exodus 18 and verse 21. And verse 21 says this, "Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people," it's also a story about Moses, "of all the people, able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens." In my Bible some time ago, I wrote down, i.e., we need more pastors, more small group leaders, more teachers, more deacons, more people to get the stuff from Panera's, more greeters, more offering takers, okay? Over thousands, over hundreds, fifties, and of tens. This is a story about people. And, but not just any people. It's been my privilege to get close to some folks who were, I guess they were important. Well, I think they were. And I got close to a guy named Leon Kilbreth. I don't know if anybody knows this name. But my friend, that's what I saw. Did I see Les back there somewhere? Yeah, Les might know this name. Maybe not. So I used to work in education work and in Sunday schools and stuff like this. And this guy was dubbed by the denominational group that I used to be a part of as Mr. Sunday School. He'd go to all these Sunday schools. They'd have, 15,000 in Sunday school, 30,000 in Sunday school. He was in all the big fat cat churches and stuff. And so I asked him to come in and to like a Sunday school teacher appreciation banquet, okay? And so I had him come in just kind of fire everybody up. And I never will forget, we started the day, we were going to play golf together. He liked to play golf. He wasn't very good, but he liked to play golf. I wasn't very much on time in those days. And I was 15 minutes late to his motel room. His golf clubs were already sitting out with his golf shoes right there. And I just had this foreboding, I thought, where's Leon? And so knocked on the door, and he just kind of, he was a fiery guy, older guy, just came out of the door, grabbed his clubs and his shoes, and he says, "Brother Phillips, you're 15 minutes late." I thought, man, dude, we're just playing golf today. I mean, holy, holy, holy. 18 holies, so we're just playing golf today. I mean, and man, you're hammering me. I said, this is going to be a real long golf thing. So at one particular time, he was addressing the ball. And as he was addressing the ball, then he said, "Brother Phillips," that's what he used to call me, "Brother Phillips." I was like young. So, "Brother Phillips, you know how to skin a hog?" Just like this, take it. "You know how to skin a hog?" And I, are you supposed to answer somebody when they're addressing the ball and they're getting ready to, to do their thing? "You know how to skin a hog?" I said, "No, sir." And then he turned around and he said, "You need a lot of, you need some sharp knives. You need a scalding barrel and a whole lot of help." Then he just teed off. I'm thinking, what the heck's going on here today? Skin hogs, what's that got to do with anything? So Jethro counsels Moses, "Do you know how to skin a hog, Moses?" Which really was not a very good thing to say to a Jew. Just saying. He said, "You need some sharp..." He didn't say that. He did say, "You need a lot of help. And not just any old help. But I just read it. Three or four things there. You need able men." The word "able" there in Hebrew is an interesting word. Not typically the word that is used for able. In this case, it has to do more with strength, with a strong man. You need a, and it was usually used in describing warriors. So you need some strong warriors. Secondly, you need men who will fear God. And what that has to do with is not like this. It is a reverential awe that produces wonder. It's like what we were saying about this morning. Did you not just, Michael, what a wonderful worship leader you are. We are so blessed that you lead us in worship and you're teaching us these new songs about sloppy kisses and all that stuff. And then the third thing, you need men of truth who are faithful and trustworthy. And you need men who will hate dishonest gain. In other words, they're not easily swayed. Not swayed. I'm just going to tell you in the near term, as we look at doing some work at the new facility on Green Meadows, there's going to be an opportunity to skin some hogs. There's not going to be an opportunity to skin some hogs. But we are going to need a lot of help. And you'll be hearing more about that, in, especially the young bucks that usually sit back here in the back that's got all the muscle. And we're going to be replacing carpet and doing some things like that. So we're going to be giving you opportunity. Kevin Crow will help lead in those efforts, and Randy Quirk and Sam Easley. And in the summer, we're going to need a lot of help to go door to door with the potential of planning a family carnival kind of a thing down there, just to begin to create some awareness of some things. The church in St. Joe is going to bring over a gazillion bounce houses, you know, those blow up things. That's what you got pastors for, to blow up those things. I'm just saying, man, he had a staff. Just saying. He had a staff. Children's pastors, all kinds of pastors. Worship pastors. So not just any people, but people sold out. Paul had a similar thing that he said in Philippians 2 and verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit or have the same spirit, and intent on one purpose or have the same purpose. And when that happens, our joy is complete. His joy is complete. And so I want to say with my pastor, mentor, friend, fret not thyself. Do you have any Amaleks in your life? Yeah, just one? Yeah. Yeah, they pop up all the time. In this world, you'll have tribulation, but we can be of good cheer, for he's overcome the world. And we don't have to fret. We don't have to be fearful. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but love, sound mind, understanding. And when Jesus left planet Earth in bodily form, his disciples were pretty fearful. They were fretting. That's when Jesus said, boys, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, don't you? Well, believe in him, in Jesus. In his father's house, there's a lot of dwelling places. If it was not so, he would have told us. But he has gone to prepare a place for us. And that where he is, we can be also. And they said, but, you know, I can just imagine. But what about now? And then Jesus got those fellas in the upper room, latter part of John's gospel. And he did something. That causes us to get our eyes off of the battles and focus our attention upon the one who is here and the one who will make it happen, the one who sees the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. He knows already what's going to happen in your life on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. He knows it all. And he has provided, already provided. God's provision as we move forward in faith is himself. He gives us himself. Are you serious? And so in that upper room with those disciples, all fearful about things, and now understand this was after the crucifixion and the resurrection. And still fearful because he told them that he was going to go away. You know, that whole, where are you going? And I'm the way, the John 14, all that thing with Thomas and all that jazz. Fearful. And then Jesus did this. The scripture says he breathed into them his spirit. He put his spirit not just to be with us, but to be in us. So when Miko is fighting the battle at the VA hospital, and Tim is not with her, God's spirit is in Tim, and God's spirit is in Miko. And when Joy is over here, and Jonathan is over there, and Cindy is over there, and Bobby and Trish, when you're over there, Bobby, when you're up on a roof and you're roofing, and those who are retired, when you're fixing backs and other, you know, what physical therapists do, when you're doing all that stuff, Tamara, where's Tamara? She's teaching. God bless Tamara. When you need a job. Over there, when you're dealing with just trying to get a breath of air, Al. When you're dealing with all of the stuff that we deal with, his spirit is in each of us as we allow him to breathe into us. Fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. Yeah, the Spirit of God is speaking through little Aurora back there in the back. She's patting her daddy on the head. Fret not thyself. And now she's rubbing his head. That's what God does to us. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. Thank you, God, for your spirit, for your precious word, for these stories, Joshua's story and Jethro's story, that remind us. He said, don't forget this. Remember this. So God, as best we know how, the power of the Holy Spirit today, we as a church, as guests, everyone in the sound of this of my voice, the children, the teachers next door, the precious preschoolers, the teenagers out in the front space. God, we purpose to leave this place today and saying we're not going to fret. We're going to focus upon the provision, upon you, O God, the one who is here, who's within us, the one who is making it happen, the one who sees our need even this week, the one who has already provided. We fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, so that this week we will run with steadfast endurance the race of life that is before us, laying aside every weight that so easily besets us and the sin that might choke us out. That's our commitment we make to you today, God. Not in our own strength, but in the strength, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because God, as Zechariah reminds us in chapter 4 and verse 10, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord. And so, God, we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill us all again and again and again. For those who have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, oh, come, Holy Spirit, and reignite the Word. Cause the Word to come alive in us, oh God. Because as best we know how, this week we're going to purpose to leave a rich deposit of you. We're going to leave our world a better place because of our living in it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. May the Amaleks of our life be blotted out once and for all. Amen. Well, you'll be happy to know I'm only going to preach one more time. Then I'm going to have three other guys that are going to be preaching over the next month or so. And so you bless you and go get your kids quick.